So our passage this morning is a classic one for Remembrance Sunday. Sometimes I like to do something different, but I just felt this idea of laying down our lives. This is what I am incredibly grateful for. So from reading us from John 15, 7 to 17, it's about laying down our lives. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father, he will give it to you. This is my command: love each other. It's a short command, isn't it? But boy, is it powerful and hard to do. Sometimes when we read these passages, we don't realize the context. And you know that I love to see the context of where this passage is actually from. And you will find from John 13, verse 31 to 16, 33, this is Jesus at the Last Supper giving his farewell speech. He knows what's about to happen in a matter of hours, that he will lay down his life, not just for his disciples, but all of humanity. And so to me, I think the last thing that somebody says is usually quite important. And so this is him thinking, what do I need to say to my disciples in my farewell speech over this Last Supper? And actually, this is the second time that Jesus has commanded his disciples. Not a, hey, by the way, you know, have a go at loving each other. It's a command. It's like, love each other as I have loved you. And Jesus previously in this passage, he's explained that kingdom disciples, those who are in his kingdom, they obey him, because that's what love looks like from our end. It's saying, yes, Lord, I want to do your will and way, and are able to know divine truth. Did you see that? It's like we talked about this before when we started the series on God's kingdom. It's like, I want to give you all the secrets and mysteries of my kingdom. I've revealed to you everything my Father has told me to reveal to you, so that you know everything. I mean, I was at a meal yesterday, lunchtime, and I found it really fascinating when people discover you're a minister, questions come, and I love it. But it was incredible that, you know, I was pulled aside right at the end as well, just by a lady, and she was just like, I'm confused about this. And another guy was like, I said, I'd love to hear more about your confusion, so I'll talk to him another time. But there is such confusion, and I think, yes, without God's Spirit, without that revelation from him, without being a disciple, it is confusing. But when you have God's Spirit, when you come into abide in him, you will understand all things that his Father has told Jesus to explain. And we are his friends. So as we abide in him, as we stay connected to God's presence throughout our days, throughout our nights, and as we understand and put into practice his teaching, and through the empowerment of God's Spirit, we are able to obey him and understand the secrets and mysteries of his kingdom, which results in us being able to do the command love one another. And this kind of love that he's talking about, remember in Greek, there's lots of different types of love, but this is agape love. This is the unconditional love. This isn't the eros or the filio. It's the agape, unconditional love that Jesus is talking about here, which can look like laying down our lives for others. When I was 11 years old, a year after my father had died, and my older sister had been fostered out, we got a loud knock at the door. And in those days, we had a frosted glass front door. And behind it, we could see like a huge guy. I mean, it was like pretty imposing, almost as tall, or taller than, as tall as a door, do you know what I mean? And so we were looking at that. And the previous day, we'd actually had a coven do a sacrifice, a crow on our doorstep. And leave it as a curse or a hex. And so my mum was on really high alert. And I remember, you know, normally we'd run to the door and open it. And she was like, don't. She says, get behind me on the stairs and I will answer the door. And she answered it and it was a guy delivering a parcel. But I asked her afterwards, mum, what was all that about? And she said, I would lay down my life for you and your sister. I would not let anything happen to you. And it just amazed me. And actually, when we were talking again yesterday with these friends, it was like, she was saying, I struggle because I'm a pacifist, but I'd lay down my life for my kids, and I know you would too. You know, you would just, and this is that sort of feeling, that intense feeling of, I will lay down my life for somebody else because I love them so much. That is the ultimate sacrifice, isn't it? Being willing to lay down your life for somebody else's liberty, somebody else's freedom. And that's the point of today. I'm really glad we remember. I'm glad every year in the UK we remember that there are people who daily are willing to still risk their lives for me and for you so that we can live without tyranny and without oppression, without fear, and without war in this nation. We remember those who gave their lives for our freedom and those families who live with the scars of surviving war and conflict. I think if I hadn't lived through 10 years of civil war and knowing what that does to you and your family and knowing what it does when you lose people through gunfire and through bombs, it makes me so grateful on a day like this for what our armed forces did so that I can I'm enabled to live in a country that is free from oppression and tyranny. I can live in freedom because others have stood up and responded to the call and put themselves in the line of danger. And this really takes tremendous courage, doesn't it? You know, my nephew, Karen's, my older sister's youngest, Dominic, he's in the army. And boy, do we pray for protection for him. And I think, what a courageous young man to do that. You can imagine my older sister's reticence, but also pride in having a member of our family in the armed forces. And I'm sure some of you, my granddad was in the First World War. You know, my parents ended up doing military service, but weren't. It was literally just after the war. And so I think war has touched a number of us. I mean, we lived through, I mean, fortunately it was thousands of miles away, but we lived through the Falklands War. And I knew some of the people who were on the boat that got bombed in the Falklands War. And this guy came back and for, I think it was 3 years, he was in this suit because his whole body had got burned, couldn't touch his wife, couldn't touch his kids. But he went back as soon as he was well enough. Back he went into the armed forces. But not all of us are called into the armed forces, are we? Definitely not. So what does Jesus mean when he says laying down your life for another? What does he actually mean by this? And I think Paul summed it up really, really well in the passage in Philippians 2. This is what laying down our lives looks like. And so he was talking to the church in Philippi, and this is what he wrote. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, in other words, having Christ abide in you, if you have any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love as Christ, being one in spirit and of one mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's a hard one, isn't it? Nothing out of selfish ambition. And I actually think it's really hard not to be selfish. I think it's hard unless we have a right self-image, that God's got us, that it's our love that we share, that we have a right self-image again of whose we are and who we are, and that we can only do this by being empowered by God's Spirit. And when you're empowered by God's Spirit, when you abide in him, then it's like a case of, he says, I've promised, I've given you everyone's spiritual gifts. And therefore, you can freely, not selfishly hold them, but you can actually just say, I want to freely give you the gifts that I have been given. Not because I want something back in return. I just want to give. Whether that gift is the gift of prayer or intercession, whether that gift is serving others with food and lifts, whether it's speaking in tongues, hospitality, teaching, encouragement through prophetic words, we all have gifts that we have been given from God that are for the common good, that we are to share with others, not expecting anything back. That's the unconditional nature of it. You know, after the death of my mother, I have joined this bereavement journey course. And the week I found most helpful was when people were describing the agape, the sacrificial, the unconditional love that they have received from others as they were grieving. You know, how many people just say, when you're ready, let's talk. Do you want to go for a walk, or do you want a coffee or something? But let me just listen to what happened. Let me just listen to who you've lost and the impact that that has made on your family and your life. And what we were talking about on this course was the fact that that's not very British. Maybe it's South African, I don't know, but it's not very British to talk about death. It's not very British to open up conversations like that. But actually, it's not worrying about whether we'll say the right thing or that, you know, focusing on ourselves. It's focusing on the other person saying, do you want to talk? Because I'd love to listen. I remember my friend, I think she was 29 weeks pregnant. And I happened to be, she came over to the UK. She's American. She was living in Nepal with us at the time. But anyway, she had preeclampsia and the baby died. And I remember I didn't know what to say, but I just said to her, you know, let's on a Sunday, let's go for a walk. And for 6 weeks, she just talked and I just listened and we walked about an hour. Nothing seemed to help. It just was like, and I felt useless, to be honest with you, but I just listened. And I remember on the 6th week, she said, one of the kids wrote a poem, because she's an English teacher. And she said, it just did something in my heart. It wasn't meant to do it for her, but the poem that she'd written had healed her heart. And she's like, I don't need to go for a walk for an hour. We can talk about other things. And they called the baby Lucy. You know, we can talk about other things now. And it's amazing, isn't it? Just that child writing a poem is what just unlocked her to be able to receive God's love and come back into a connection with him and others. Calling on people. Not too long. Do you know what it means? I mean, I'm sure you've heard people who turn up and they don't go. But, you know, the idea is just call on them. Just check they're okay. Check they're well. Others, you know, you've got that gift of gifts, haven't you? And just taking food and taking just little gifts or flowers around. I don't know. I just think that as a church, as God's people, that unconditional love when people are grieving is who we are and what we can do. Not because of anything that we've got, but it's because of what Jesus has given us that we are willing to share. Do nothing out of vain conceit. I know how sinful I am, because sometimes when I start describing a vain conceit, I think of other people rather than looking at myself first. So as I'm talking about this, let's examine ourselves. You know, we may know people who have a little bit of vain conceit, but let's think about ourselves first. So vain and conceited people are those that think they are superior in some way to others. There's an arrogance to think that they are right, a self-importance that is unable to accept others just for who they are and sacrificially love others without judgment. Conceited people talk in a way that brings glory to them and have conversations that focus on them and their interests and desires. A number of us went to Rob Parsons this week and his stories were incredible. And one that really struck me was this idea of what unconditional love actually looks like. And he said his father loved him and would protect him and provided for him. But his mother's love was different. His mother didn't just love him, she accepted him. Accepted him for who he was, whether he came last in the class, he actually came second to last, or whether he came first. Where his father was a bit like, you know, why aren't you improving? Why aren't you, you know, you did this, but how about this? Didn't just accept him for who he is. And one of the things that just made me smile was his boss in this firm, solicitor's firm, was giving his mum and him a lift home from church one time. And the mum couldn't resist just leaning forward and tapping the guy on the shoulder and saying, "Isn't he a lovely boy?" And just, you know, just saying how wonderful she sees her son. That's key, isn't it? It's not just loving, it's accepting just where people are at, whether they're second to last in the class or first or wherever they're at. This is this sacrificial, unconditional love, and it's not easy. So we don't have selfish ambition, we don't have vain conceit, but we do have humility. Humility does involve this active listening to others, asking questions, seeking to genuinely get to know them and how people are feeling, asking people what their needs are without the desire to make sure that your needs are heard and also met. It involves serving others, sacrificing your time, energy, and resources to help them. Some of you know that I've quoted Brené Brown before, and she really is a phenomenal writer and speaker about vulnerability, about humility, about getting on with others, about sacrificial love. And she says, stay curious. It's so easy when somebody says something or does something to make an assumption of why they do that, as opposed to, oh, that's interesting how they said that or why they reacted that way. What question, Lord, give me help here, can I ask that will help me stay curious? Because we often assume what other people are thinking, but actually most of the time we're wrong because we are so complex, and what we think and what we say and how we act is from a whole, I mean, I got 60 years of past life here. You know, I'm a complex person. You probably can't guess why I do this thing or that thing. And that's why we stay curious and ask, that humility to say, actually, I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to accept you and just ask, what has made you say that or think those things? And I think the reason we can stay humble, the reason that we can do this unconditional love, lay down our lives, is because we remember that everybody is made in the image of God. Everybody has a worth and a value and is loved by God. Everyone is created by God. And I think how upset he must get when we do not say nice things about other people. And it's like, that's my creation. It reminds me of my mother. Do you know what I mean? At the beginning that I told you about, you know, get behind me. I will protect you with my life. That's how Jesus feels about every single one of you. And I think he genuinely hates it when we're saying negative things about other people, because we realize the worth and the value of absolutely everybody, which makes us and enables us to love unconditionally, to come with humility. I mean, I don't know about you. I was talking about this last night, just saying, I have done some pretty bad things in my life. I know I don't look like it, but you know, I have done some pretty bad things in my life. And it's but by the grace of God, I haven't done other stuff. And so when it comes to forgiving people, when it comes to accepting people, I think, well, you know, the Lord and others have accepted me. They've demonstrated to me what it looks like. You know, I am so grateful for what God has done for me and has accepted in me. And I don't know about you. Can you imagine, though, a community where there is no selfish ambition or vain conceit and only humility? Because that's the kind of community that Jesus is commanding us to live in. He says each person, yeah, can you imagine everyone going around like saying, oh, Beth, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, which scripture says, you know, you are stunning, you are beautiful. The Lord just wants to lavish his love on you. We just don't do that because we're very British. But can we have a kingdom culture rather than a British culture? Can we see everyone made in the image of God? Can we genuinely listen to one another? Can we not make assumptions about people, but can we just encourage each other with the gifts and talents we've got for the common good to benefit our community? Can we actively seek to make sure that everybody's needs are met? You see, I have this little panic when I'm busy meeting everybody else's needs, nobody's going to meet mine. But in an ideal community, and this is what happened in Acts 2. I know it didn't last long. In Acts 3, they got upset. But in Acts 2, when they devoted themselves to one another, you know, nobody had a need because everybody was looking out for everybody else's need, not for selfish gain, but looking out for everybody else. I think that's the kind of society that people want. They just don't realize that without Jesus, we can't make that happen. And of course, you can't talk about laying down your life without Jesus' sacrificial love for us. The rest of Philippians 2 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Sacrificial, unconditional love involves being with Jesus, abiding with him, becoming like him, thinking in kingdom ways, doing what he did, and being obedient to God, just like Jesus was for us. At the end of this service, we will be remembering at the communion table, at the Eucharist, we will be remembering the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us to demonstrate God's love for us. When people say, oh, I don't think God loves me, this is to remind us as regularly as we can that you are loved. Loved enough. Unlike my mother who said, I will defend my life, your life with mine. A father saying, I'm willing. Son, are you willing to give up your life for others and for all humanity? Jesus gave up his heavenly throne to come to be with us so that we can be with him. Jesus accepted and loved all he came across, asking them questions, using the gifts and talents he had. He laid down his life for our liberty, freedom. And his motive, the way he always functioned, was unconditional, agape love. I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm saying this is what Jesus has commanded us to do. And what he's commanded us to do, he gives us the ability to do that. Even Jesus was unable to do this without the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus was unable to do this until he was molded and made for those 30 hidden years. Even Jesus. And I think, I cannot do this without Jesus, but with him, maybe we have an opportunity to love unconditionally. So Jesus calls us daily to die to our selfish ambitions and vain conceits, to lay down our life for others. He commands us to love and accept all people with humility, grace, and mercy, just as he did on earth. There's other verses that we know that say, you know, Christ says, you know, you are crucified, you've died. Right? The old self is gone so that you can be free from the enslavement of sin and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be and do all that he calls us to be and do for the good of ourselves and others. What unconditional love, what laying down our lives for others looks like for us at PBBC is in our values. And I thought we would just say these together. At PBBC, God has called us to be all welcoming, Bible-based, community transforming, disciple making, empowered by the Spirit, followers of Jesus. This is unconditional love. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence here this morning. I thank you that you love to abide not just with us, but in us. Holy Spirit, we need the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control to love unconditionally, to lay our lives down for others. Lord, we recognize our need for you this morning and ask for your help. Lord, I pray that you would empower us once again this morning to love like you did. In Jesus' name, amen.